You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to show number 296. Today is Sunday, May 3rd, 2015, and my name is Steve. No Hammy tonight, but I am joined by Curtis. And Kurt, tonight's show is sponsored by Front Row Seats, our first ever sponsor, so go use them. So here's the deal. If you're looking for Braves tickets, you'll get them at the best price online, guaranteed. Use discount code ABT at the Front Row Seats checkout page, and you won't pay any service fees. Visit FrontRowSeatsLLC.com or download their mobile app today. That's FrontRowSeatsLLC.com. All right, Kurt, in tonight's show, we'll celebrate Markakis' numbers so far. We'll discuss our expectations of Kelly Johnson, and we'll start a new segment called Find the Silver Lining. But first, Kurt, it was a rough week. I mean, 3 wins in 7 games, the brutal Nats series. And most of the pain can really be attributed to the pitching, both the starters and the relievers. So let's take a look at what the starting rotation did this week. You know, Stoltz had a nice game on Monday, that first Nats game, 6 1/3, 2 earned, but then got knocked around for 6 earned and 2 homers Saturday night against the Reds. Tehran started the week, I mean, you know, the game that shall not be mentioned again after this week, giving up 7 runs, although 3 were earned, 2 homers in that game 2 against the Nats, although really turned it around today, thank God, 6 shutout innings. Wood gave up 5 earned in 5 innings in game 3 against the Nats, right, including the bases-clearing single to Zimmerman, I think it was, that 3-run single to Zimmerman. Miller gave up 3 runs in 7 innings pitched. And Folty, in his major league debut, afforded himself pretty well, 5 innings, 2 earned. So, Kurt, I stand back, you know, and I look at this week, and you can really pin 3 of the 4 losses directly on that Tehran start in the Nat series, the Wood start in the Nat series, and Stoltz in the Red series. And Miller was obviously fine. Look, he was the first starting pitcher, and it's beginning of May, the first starting pitcher to pitch 7 complete. So you got to give him that. But those 2 home runs kind of took the wind out of the team's sails. It had been a 0-0 game at that point. So let's start with Tehran. And as I said, thank God he looked good today. But Tehran's been pretty worrisome. I mean, he's bookended all his starts, a really good opening day start and then a good start today. But in the middle, it's just been dreadful.
It is the homers. I mean, it's so much of a lot of these guys. It's homers after homers. I mean, they all seem like they're giving up a lot of homers. It's his lack of control. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can contribute it to. But yeah, I mean, he's our ace. So we need, for this chance, this team to have any real chance, we need the starting pitching, at least the top three, to be good. You can hope that Stoltz will give you a good outing from here and there. Maybe Folty's going to come up and solidify something at the back, but you can't expect a ton out of him because he's a rookie. But we have to have Tehran be good. And thank God we saw something today. It's just the homers. I mean, I counted with the bullpen 10 homers that they gave up this week. I might have even missed one.
A lot
but
of home runs.
It's just, it's brutal. And lots of walks, still kind of plaguing them. So, it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, nice that you can hang your hat on something specific that he did. Big, consult with Roger after his last bad start. And they decided, to throw more fastballs. He had sort of fallen in love with his breaking stuff and was not throwing as many fastballs as he had. And he really got back to the fastball today, and the command was good. So hopefully, he's on the right track. And you mentioned Folty, and really, there was good, right? 2 earned runs, helped himself at the plate, his major league debut with a new team. You know, pretty good, right? Really as good as you could ask, I think, particularly after a pretty uneven spring. You know, the not as good. He gave up 3 walks. It was 94 pitches in 5 innings. But it's an encouraging start. Yeah, and as you said, you hope he builds on it. And, you know, you get two good starts out of every three from Folty, and that would certainly be better than Cahill.
Yeah, and you also look at his game, and unlike some of these other games where the bullpen was disastrous, and I know I'm jumping ahead a little, but how good the bullpen was in his game, and maybe they were really geeked up to make sure that he got the win in that game. But that was really one of the few games where the bullpen did not give up any runs this week. I think it might have been the only game that the game that the bullpen didn't give up runs. So
today,
yeah,
too.
I mean,
today too, right?
Oh,
shutout today.
Oh, yeah, yeah, my fault.
Yeah.
So yeah, but I mean, you know, so the two best pitching performances were for the team were Folty's start and then the start today, and of course those were two of the wins they had. So.
Exactly. And look, I'm not worried about Wood or Miller, but Wood needs to be better. Like you said, our big three, which may be a little overdone. They need to be great. If we're gonna even stay in this thing, they need to be great. Really, you know, almost every time out. And Wood sort of self-destructed that inning after what I think he had four scoreless before that fifth inning and that three-run single. And like you said, Stoltz, you know, his two starts prior to the six-run game against the Reds were really good. He'd given up one run and given up two. You'd hope that he had really turned the corner and was going to be, was going to be a more stable force at the back end. But I think you're right. I think the best that we can hope from Stoltz is maybe one good start out of every three or two, you know, in a good stretch.
Yeah.
All right. So let's move on to the bullpen, right? So there was a lot of bad, as you mentioned, the three-run homer from Grilly that he gave up to Ugla was just horrendous. I mean, just terrible. And to pitch to, you know, to have him down like that and to not throw him something off the plate, some curve, something off speed that he just can't hit. We know he can't hit it. To try to challenge him like that, the one thing that he might be lucky enough to hit, and you throw him that. Avalon looked dreadful in that Nats game, giving up three runs. And then the middle relief corps, right? Cornelly, who came and went after giving up four earned in game three against the Nats. Donnie Veal, who's still here, but has given up three earned in two innings of work in the Red Series. Ian Thomas, who didn't even have the worst week. He gave up one run. It was a homer in his appearance this week, but he's back in Gwinnett. I mean, it was by far the worst week for the bullpen that we've seen this season. I mean, it's just hard to trust the bullpen, don't you think?
Yeah, and we talked about it last week. And when your starters are going five innings, that's a lot of ground to cover for a bullpen that's not very good. So it's almost to be expected. You didn't even bring up Cahill's disastrous, awful
his relief of Wood
appearance. Yeah, he's just a hole. The Grilly thing, the Ugla thing, I still cannot get, even though I saw it coming, and if anybody was curious, that was my tweet that I saw it coming from 100 miles away, because it was so obvious that it was going to happen. But how do you not throw a 52-foot breaking ball or something,
yeah.
You know? I mean, and maybe they were trying to elevate it, because we all know that Ugla likes to swing at high fastballs and cannot catch up to him. And maybe it was supposed to be Bill High. But, I mean, why even be cute 0-2?
I agree. You know, and that game, as the Nats started to come back, it had all the makings of there's no doubt we lose this game. Because it feels like over the last two or three years, we've had this game before where we jump out to huge leads and then end up blowing it. But then we started to tack on a run here, a run there. I felt like we really were going to keep him at bay. And it was going to, you know, and then for it to end that way, too Ugla.
Well, and just the fact that they let Ugla do what he did that whole series is bewildering. I mean, how he was able to hit a ball at all. I mean, you know, and it's not like It's the same, if not worse, Dan Uggla than what we've seen.
He came in hitting 170, 180, something like that.
He had like four hits all season long. Yeah. And for him to emerge out of that series. Yeah, I mean, he had as many triples in the series as he did as a Brave.
Yeah.
He got almost as many RBIs as he did all last year as a Brave. So his numbers against the Braves, obviously he played a ton of games against the Braves when he was a Marlin. He's got good numbers against the Braves, which lends itself to how do you not know how to pitch the guy, especially after he's been here and you've seen how terrible he was, that you let him get one hit off of you that entire series. It's beyond comprehension.
I agree. You know, back to the bullpen, it's in a really weird place right now, right? Avilan and Veal are the only lefties. Veal surely is not long for the bullpen, and Kniff will come back once he's eligible after being sent down, but he's a righty. They just sent Ian Thomas down. I'm not sure what the other complimentary lefty to Avilan is going to be. You had Khan, I apologize for not knowing that.
Khan!
had a very nice week, right? I mean, maybe he starts to become another dependable righty. But yeah, Cahill is a disaster. Avilan, Avilan's been more good than bad, but that was a really chilling appearance he had against the Nats earlier this week.
Do you think it's got something to do with the Amish beard?
It really is one of the worst baseball beards I've seen in a long time.
I mean,
it's not even like, you know, goofy, ridiculous like a lot of the relievers do. It's just bad and ugly.
Yeah.
This is the important analysis we're giving.
It's true.
But it can't be helping him. It can't be.
Right. Totally. Like his arms are tired from churning butter or something, you know, building farms.
All right, Kurt, next up is short hops. But first, a quick word from Front Row Seats. Get the best deals on Braves tickets online by visiting frontrowseatsllc.com using discount code ABT, and you won't be charged any service fees. Again, that's frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, Kurt, some quick thoughts in short hop. So first up, Nick Markakis. We haven't spoken about Markakis much this year, really. We all railed against the signing in the off-season, saying it made no sense given the rebuilding mode and that 4 years is too long. And while I still think both those things are true, it's been a nice start for Markakis, particularly we didn't even know if he was going to make opening day given the neck surgery. His batting average is .292. His on-base is .394. And that's after three hitless days, which actually I didn't realize when we thought we'd talk about this. But that's he hadn't gone two consecutive days the whole season without getting a hit until this weekend. So forget the contract for now. Forget his age. Are you happy that Markakis is on the team?
He's been kind of all that we expected to be. And I read an article this week, and it was a fantasy profile, but it was pretty damning about Jason Hayward, and just that it's really time to kind of move on from Jason Hayward, the expectation that he's going to be a superstar. His numbers in St. Louis are not good.
No.
And so what we were able to pull out of St. Louis for Jason Hayward and replace him with a guy who's completely outperforming him. Granted, he's a little older, but the productivity is there. And that's what we need at this time. Obviously, the guy is providing this all-important veteran leadership that they wanted so much. He's not striking out. He's doing all those types of things.
Getting on base a ton.
Yeah. So, sure. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you about the numbers and, I mean, the money side of it. But it's not egregious given what lots of these guys make. And somebody's going to pay Jason Hayward, $17, $18 million a year after this season, because they're still going to believe that he is going to break through at some point. At that point, we'll be like, wow, we're getting a deal from having Nick Markakis play right field for us.
Yeah, and the litmus test, at least right now, that I'm very happy whenever I see him come up to bat and feel like something good can happen. I mean, he passes that test. And I certainly can't say that about every slot in the lineup. So, kudos to the team in that way. All right, so, Kurt, what about Kelly Johnson? I was very dubious about his making the roster. I mean, his last 2 years, he was not a good ball player. You know, batting average 235 and 215. And he had some really ugly, ugly at-bats earlier this season in big spots. I can't remember the series, but there was a terrible pop-up with, like, you know, bases loaded. I mean, he just wasn't looking good. Then all of a sudden you blink and he's batting 250 right now, slugging 533 thanks to five homers and two doubles. And over his last 10 games, heading into today, he's slashing 300, 344, 567. So what do you think he'll finish the year slash line-wise?
I wrote down 256, 312, 489.
Yeah, I'm not that far off. I mean, this is assuming he doesn't get busted for the PEDs he's clearly taking.
Right. Maybe it's just his comfort of being back in Atlanta. Maybe. I know that he lives here. He lives here in the off season, so maybe it's just as easy as that. His kid was at the park today. He talked about that after the game. Obviously, he hit that big home run, which must have been cool to have his kid there.
Oh, yeah.
And hit that home run in front of him. So maybe it's something as simple as that.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm going 275, 325, 500.
Wow, you think he's going to hit 275?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
I think it's a rejuvenation machine.
Hey, that's what they call the Braves.
Yeah, exactly.
That's their new moniker. It's the rejuvenation machine.
All right, before we move on, Kurt, there's a couple things we want to ask the listeners. So we are approaching our 300th show. It's in exactly a month from now. And we'd like to help celebrate the fact by reaching 5,000 followers on Twitter. We're a little under 400 followers away, so please help us, if you wouldn't mind, by spreading the word on Twitter to help try to get us to 500 followers. Also, we're working on a special guest for the 300th episode, but if you have any connections, you know, if your cousin is Greg Maddux or your hairdresser works with, you know, John Smoltz or something, help us get in touch with that big name.
If your hairdresser works for John Smoltz, they are not making very much money.
Yeah, you know, I guess that was a bad joke. So, you can direct message us on Twitter or you can send me an email directly. I'm at steve@atlantabaseballtalk.com. So thanks. All right, Kurt, let's play a new game called What's Worse. And I think it'll be pretty self-explanatory. So, Kurt, what's worse? Getting beaten by Dan Ugla with a home run in the ninth inning of a game, getting beaten by Hayward on a walk-off, or getting shut down by Craig Kimbrell?
Well, it's pretty obvious for me, and I was railing on about this just minutes ago. The Ugla thing, Hayward is still young and still has some talent. Kimbrell is obviously the best closer in the game, so that one wouldn't bother me at all. But the Ugla thing, just, God, he's terrible. And all the numbers, I had to stop tweeting out the numbers and how bad they were for Dan Ugla at some point because I got sick of typing them in. He's just not good at all. And so for him to have any impact on any series, especially against the Braves, just made me throw up in my mouth.
Yeah, see, for me, it's Hayward. And I'll tell you why. I have no regrets about releasing Ugla. They should have done it sooner. I don't really have hard feelings for against Ugla other than he just was awful and it was painful for him to be on the team. But the Hayward thing, you know, I still have like pangs of, did we make the right decision? Is this guy ever going to figure it out? And for him to beat us and for it to point to a glimmer of, you know, he is going to figure it out. He's going to put together his offensive tools, all that stuff. To me, long term, that would be more painful. I do not believe that by the end of the year, Ugla is going to be hitting over 225 or really rediscover his stroke or any of that stuff.
Or even on the Nats.
Or even be on the 25 man. So while it was just ugly. Ugly and painful in the moment. Long term, I'd rather not be beaten by Hayward.
Yeah. And I will add to what you said about Ugla. I thought the booing of Ugla was ridiculous.
Yeah,
it was silly. He did not have a good end of his Brave career. There's no getting around that. But what does booing him do? It's just stupid and petty.
I mean, I tweeted this out this week too. To me, Braves fans typically just boo ex-players, really with little discretion, unless your name's Martin Prado.
Or Julio Franco.
I mean, and the story I tweeted out was a couple of years ago, I was at a Braves-Rockies game at the TED, and Rick Ankiel was in right field and, you know, in the starting lineup. And the TED booed Rick Ankiel, who single-handedly gave us like one of the only playoff victories we've had in the last 10 years.
And a great, great one at that. What a wonderful memory that
amazing,
was.
Amazing. All right. So, Kurt, what's worse, Trevor Cahill being awful as a starter?
Yes. Yes.
Or Trevor Cahill being awful as a long reliever?
I'm going to go starter, because if he's coming in as a long reliever, we're already losing that game anyway. But him as a starter, and I'm not even going to bring up the conversation we've had multiple times about the money. But he's just not good. So him getting any starts, it's almost like you're conceding that game to me.
I was very surprised that they sent him to the bullpen as soon as they did. I thought they were going to give him a couple more starts. And one thing, you know, maybe you read something that I didn't see. Did Woods' short appearance force their hand? Or had they already made the decision that Folty was going to start on Friday and they were going to send Cahill to the bullpen? Did you hear one way or another?
I did not. I mean, the only thing I saw was maybe a tweet from DOB that said that Cahill was temporarily being moved to the bullpen, which was Freddie talk too. He's permanently being moved to the bullpen.
Oh, totally. Because I saw Freddie's soundbite on that, and it was like, you know, this is permanent. And then he qualified it by saying, you know, someone could get hurt or something.
Oh,
you know,
right?
So of course. Right. I mean, I guess I have to go with as a starter because it would have more impact on a game. But there is something as equally depressing as bringing a guy out, a long reliever out, and he gives up 3, 4, 5 runs. When he's got to come on and eat innings and save the bullpen, and he can't do anything.
He's terrible.
He really is just awful. All right, Kurt, so on the flip side, let's do another new segment. This one's called Find the Silver Lining, which I feel we may have to do a bunch this year. What can you hang your hat on this week? What do you got?
One guy needs to come back up. But some of these young relievers, some of these unknown young relievers that we've had. Khan had a great week in particular. Cody Martin gave up a run way back when, but he's been great. Obviously, he's elevated his role from that long reliever situation to where he's got a more prominent role at the back end of the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, he is the go-to guy in the fifth, sixth, seventh inning.
Yeah,
we wouldn't have won as many games as we have without Cody Martin. I mean, Cody Martin's been a savior.
Yeah, and it's a great story. I mean, a guy that stuck around the minors for a long time, and so you always like to see. I mean, granted, everybody's not going to hit on every move that they make, but just some of these great stories. Kniff, when he comes back up, he was really a treat to have on the team as well. So yeah, that's kind of what I've enjoyed watching, is some of these young pitchers, and Folty too. I mean, I can't wait to get some more starts out of him.
Yeah, yeah. Wednesday final game against the Phillies. So I'm going to go with Jim Johnson. You know, it's been a bit of a roller coaster with him, but this week was spotless. 3 appearances, 2 2/3 innings pitched, no hits, no walks, no runs. And boy, when his sinker is working, he's pretty unhittable. And that's what he showed this week. Just got to get consistent with it. But a great, great week by Jim Johnson. All right, folks, our last word of the night from Front Row Seats. Don't forget to get the best deals on Braves tickets online by visiting frontrowseatsllc.com using discount code ABT so that you don't get charged any service fees. Again, frontrowseatsllc.com. All right, Kurt, let's move on to Shot in the Dark, our prediction for the coming week. Our listener pick for Shot in the Dark last week was from Jeff Schnitzer on Twitter, and it was that Jim Johnson would not allow an earned run. He'd get a win and a save this week. So no win or save, but spot on with no earned runs. And frankly, that was quite a shot in the dark. So nice job, Jeff.
Do we get extra kudos for our call of Jason Marquis dominating the Braves?
Yeah, we should. Well, we got a little love on Twitter for it. All right. So, Kurt, let's check back on what we did last week. So, Kurt, you predicted Shelby Miller 7 innings pitch, two earned runs, that is, which is exactly what he did. I don't know if you're going to win, though. Hammy predicted that Simmons would hit a homer and have two doubles. No homer, but in fact, two doubles. And then I predicted that we'd sweep the Nats.
So close.
Look, clearly I was wrong. But my God, we steal the first game. And by steal, I mean that, you know, Stoltz beat Pfister.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, amazing to take that first game. And then, you know, to be up 8 runs that early, I'm like, oh man, we are sweeping the Nats. This is going to be so awesome. What a great start to the week. Who knows what'll happen? The Reds aren't that great, but yeah. So Kurt, obviously goes to you. Nice job. You're 2-0 this month. Hammy and I are not on the board.
Well, and the thing, look at the Nats came in losing 7 games in a row. They lost 8 in games, obviously that first game of our series. And now look what they've done since we basically gave them reason to live again, you know. They've shut down the Mets, 2-1-0 games. Yeah. So, you know, you give those teams a kickstart like that. And
well, the rejuvenation machine doesn't just apply
That's
to the
true.
Braves players.
That's true. This is...
All right, so Kerr, what's your shot in the dark for this week?
Well, we talked about this before the show. I don't know if this is a compliment or a damning. Jace Peterson has 4 hits.
Yeah, feels a little damning, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, and my shot in the dark is that we give up a total of 2 earned runs across the entire series against Philadelphia. And I want to do a bonus one.
Okay.
Which is that when we go to Washington this coming weekend, that's the back half.
Are we going to sweep him?
Ugla's going to go hitless.
Because he's not going to play?
Well, you know, we have... I'm pretty sure we have 2 lefties starting. I think we have... is that right? Yeah, I think we have Wood. Let me look. We have Stoltz and Wood starting in Washington. So Ugla, I would bet, will get both those starts.
Well, and of course, the irony of the game that will never be mentioned again was that he wasn't supposed to play and only played because, you know, Escobar got hurt in the game before.
Right, the slide.
The slide.
What a non-story that was. I mean,
really,
seriously.
Whatever it takes to get you fired up, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so speaking of the week ahead, we have 3 at home against the Phillies and 3 at Washington against the Nats. Here are the matchups. So Wood Harang and his 2.5 ERA. He did give up 5 earned runs in his last start. Miller versus Chad Billingsley. You remember that name? Longtime starter for the Dodgers, who's
right.
made all of 2 starts since 2012. He's had 2 surgeries, a Tommy John, something else. But this is his debut in a Phillies uniform. I missed that they even signed him. Yeah,
me too.
Followed by Folty in the final game, his second start against Jerome Williams and his 4.08 ERA.
Brave killer.
Yeah, exactly. On to Washington, where it'll be Stoltz, Gio Gonzalez, who's either been really lights out or pretty hittable. His ERA is 3.86. Then Teron Pfister, who we knocked around in the game that shall not be mentioned. He has a 2.61 ERA. And then the final game is Wood Zimmerman and his 4.88 ERA. So, Kurt, what do you think the week goes?
God, they got a lot of pitching.
Yeah, they do. And yet we're still ahead of them in the standings.
Yeah. I say 3-3, 2-1, 1-2.
That is exactly my prediction. 2-1, 1-2.
And I don't know who's winning what. I think we'll probably lose to Harang again.
Yeah, it's tough. I'm going to be there tomorrow. Damn it. But I'm excited to see Wood in person. Haven't seen him in a while. All right, Curtis, that is the show. So everyone, please make sure you have us in your RSS feeds or subscriptions on iTunes or Stitcher so that you don't miss any of our weekly shows. And as always, check us out at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com for past shows, to check out our blogs, and to post in our comments section. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.